I want to ask you a question. It's kind of a deep question, I think, if you think about it, but do you think God would ever create a world that he would not be needed in? When God created this planet and all the people and all the stuff, do you think he would have created a planet that was self-sufficient, that he would not be necessary in any way, shape, or form? Or do you think he would have created a planet and all its people where they would have to depend on him? Because that's an important question. A lot of times, a lot of people are self-sufficient and they don't feel they need God, especially in our nation where a lot of things are at our disposal and we can get along with pretty simplistic with a lot of things. You know, instead of Father God, we got Uncle Sam, you know, sometimes stepping in and helping us out with our problems. And it's gotten us to the place where, you know, we're not as dependent on God as we need. Also, have you ever felt some days, you know, it's not like this all the time, but everything's against you? I mean, I do, just every now and then. You know, you have those moments when it just seems like boom, 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 boom. I thought I was off and running today. I got real good, and then I come over here, and it's never happened in the history of this iPad, but before church, I look down, and the iPad's locked up. It says it needs its password and ID, Apple ID. Well, I don't remember that off the top of my head. I have it written down in a place. I was able to get it, you know. But, you know, just a lot of things sometimes come in, right? You know, like a flood, boom. You know, things at work, things at family. You know, these things kind of get overwhelming. They take us away. And I want us to look at today that God is not against us, because sometimes we blame God, because that's a common human nature thing. And also the idea that God is on our side, and through this relationship, he wants us to need him so that he can get the glory to bring us through to the other side, because you and I have been created for a purpose and for his glory. That's why we're here on this planet. And to be honest, it's the greatest relationship that you and I will probably ever enter into. And it's hard to imagine how the Creator of the heavens and earth, everything you see here. I don't know about you, but I can get philosophical sometimes. I love to think. And I don't know where you, I mean, most of us all believe, I think, here today that, you know, God created the whole shebang, right? Wouldn't you say that? But, you know, it is amazing some doesn't believe that way. And if you just think about it, where did all this come from? Where do people come from? Where did the world, how did it originate? How did the universe come into existence? You know, and we always put the pat answer, God. That's good. But think about that. There's a lot of people out there believe that we evolve from stuff. You know, to me, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does into a creator. Because for evolution to take place and all the things that have to come in line at significant times is astronomical. So I believe that God created everything, and that he wants to be an active part of what we're doing. I don't know about you, but when you make, you know, I know if you love them, you set them free, but hopefully they'll come back to you, they say, right? You know, and, but, you know, I believe God created us for relationship in such a way that I don't think we've really tapped in to the bounds of that relationship. And we're going to look at that. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the stirring of your Spirit. Lord, just on our behalf, we thank you as you hovered over the waters, back in the book of Genesis, Lord, I thank you that you're hovering over us right now, that you want to create something inside of us today, Lord, that you're wanting to do a work, that you're wanting to stir us and stimulate us and change us and mold us and make us into the person that you have created us to be. Lord, help us to yield to that creative act. We humble ourselves and humble our will to your will, Lord. And I yield to the gift you put in me. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at three words today, three things that God spoke to me when I was preparing this. Number one is boundless love. Number two is matchless opportunity. And number three is endless victory. That's what I see in this passage. And that's something I believe God wants for us. Number one, like I said, is that tough subject for me, is boundless love. I do love, but I have a hard time showing it. God doesn't. And, you know, it's just amazing that how, you know, we go back to this, we all know it, but the concept of how he did not spare his own son. Now, most of us are parents, and could you imagine sacrificing your child for one of these people in this room today? You're shaking your head, no. So you think your kid is worth more than these people in this room? It's a fictitious question. But God, in his infinite love, you know, chose to send his son on our behalf. You know, the word boundless, if you look it up, you don't have to, I did it for you. It's unlimited. It means also love without limits, or what I like to say, out there love. Loving without limits. Do we really know what that is? You know, sometimes I don't. But God does. And if we understand his position about how much he really loves us, I think it will change our position in how we respond to that love. Because you and I, maybe you're better than I am, probably are, you and I have limited love. And, you know, our love sometimes has limits. And it's kind of reciprocal, meaning the love me, love you back scenario. If you love me, I'm going to love you back. You don't love me, not loving you back. And you may start out loving and loving and loving and loving, but finally, after a while, them not loving you back, you kick them to the curb. Because your love has limits. But one thing we need to understand about God's love, his love isn't like that. God's love is unconditional. And I think we sometimes struggle with the idea that God loves us no matter what we have ever done. I don't know if you've ever felt shame in your life, but I have. I've felt ashamed for maybe some of my actions or some of the things I've done. And that shame, the last thing I wanted to do is run to God. But that's the first thing I should have done, but I didn't. But that shame pushes me away and it makes me try to hide like Adam did. But I didn't understand the love of God. You know, when I started out, you know, in this planet, you know, my idea was God usually tried to take your fun away. Because I watched a lot of people who didn't have a lot of fun. And they said, you want to be like me? No. Well, then on the other side, then I seen the liberal Christians who go out and have all kinds of fun on, you know, whatever, and then they get all holy for a few hours, and they go back out and they live like the devil. I said, what's up with that? Didn't have any idea I wanted to do that. So both these things were kind of a misunderstanding on my part of really, you know, what God was really like, and it wasn't until finally I come to the point in my life where I decided I'm going to check this out. There's enough truth there to find out for myself, not just take somebody's word for it. And so that I went out and I started to do that, and then things started to change. Can we, you know, that idea of grasping that love. Now, I know for me growing up, I probably stretched my parents' love to the limit. I would imagine A couple times they probably stopped loving me. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. I know they didn't. But I would say I went too far with what I was doing, what I have done. What I had said, and maybe in the heat of the moment, they didn't mean what they said to me when they said they don't love me anymore. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. But, you know, when I think about God, you know, I think about the prodigal father. I mean, if you really think about that, let's say you work your whole life and you've worked hard and you've amassed some small fortune, okay? Well, now all of a sudden you got one of your kids that says, hey, don't want to live under your rules no more. I want my cut. Give me my cut. I want to go off. So the son, he gets his fortune that was his portion, goes out, squanders it immediately, and then things are so bad that he had to humble himself to come crawling back to old dad. Now, I don't know what your dad would have said, but I don't think my dad would have had the ring and the robe, at least the first day. You know what I'm saying? You know, I would have got a, you know, let's take advantage of this teaching moment. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done that? Or your parents done it to you? We're going to utilize this moment as a teaching moment. You know, how you really made all these mistakes. But no, the prodigal father accepted him unconditionally, loved him. That's boundless love. That's the kind of love that you and I probably don't understand a lot about all the time. Some of you might, but I do know that it's an experience that when you get there, it's life-changing. To me, it takes performance right out of the equation. You know, a lot of times we measure love by performance. If you do this for me, I do that for you, we love each other, and as long as we, you know, don't violate that trust or whatever the case may be, then it's all good. We're loving each other. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we measure everything because you and I like a measuring stick. We like to know where we stand. But see, God, he doesn't use the measuring stick. He just loves. It's that boundless love. I love you. I love you. No matter what. No matter what you do, God will still keep loving you. And we got to settle that in our hearts so we understand how deep that is, because love keeps us strong. Now, because we're so used to, you know, having to earn it, you know, but performance for God is just that we do it for him out of love, but not because we're trying to get him to love him. Now, you and I may have to do some things. Now, in any relationship, this is a little side thought. In any relationship that you and I have, some people are good for each other and some are bad for each other, wouldn't you say? You know, in their love. You know, how many know about chemistry? Some people are chemically addicted to each other, but they're not compatible, right? You know, you know, 95% of their life is miserable, but that 5% of chemistry, you know, is keeping them together for a little bit. Well, that don't last forever, does it? There's going to come a time when compatibility has to kick in, because that chemistry just isn't going to be able to keep things together. And so the compatibility that we have, and, you know, we need to see that you and I, God created us in a way to have interaction and relationship with him, that there is the chemistry because we love him, but there's also the compatibility, because there's a place inside of us that only God can fill. There's a place in us, there's a part of us that needs God so bad just to be an active part of our life so that we can be able to function properly. Now, how do sinners function? They just do. I know, I used to do it. But I'll tell you, once you become a believer and you start to find out how much God is necessary in our life, then it's a relationship that we need to continually keep growing and understanding in the idea of a boundless love. Now, I don't like to do this very often, but if you were going to put a price on a life, how much is it? There's actuaries that do that, aren't they? You know what an actuary is? They work for the insurance companies, and they price out stuff. Like if you lose a leg, maybe $5,000. Or if you lose an arm, you know, this amount of money. If you lose a life, you know, this amount of money. It amazes me in our court system, you know, that some people will kill somebody, and they might get 15 years. Is that really what a life's worth? I mean, 15 years because you kill somebody? But see, God thinks you're worth Jesus to him. And as we understand that, if there's a balance, you know, and you're sitting in one side, God says you're worth Jesus to him. And most of us couldn't give our child, especially for this bunch, right? But see, God would. God did that. Next, I want to look at the idea of matchless opportunities. I want us to see that we're more than just the object of his love. You know, the Bible says we're a bride. It's kind of humbling for a guy to accept that I'm a bride. But I want us to see today that we're just not a trophy wife. You know, a lot of Christians think they're a trophy wife. They just think that all their job to do is to sit there and look pretty. But that's not it. There's matchless opportunities out there in the world that God wants us to tap into. He wants us to be a part, you know, of his plan. Now, I was raised on a farm, so I know what it's like, and some maybe were also involved, but, you know, being a part of a family business, what it means to be a part of a family business. You know, my dad was the head and, you know, mom and, you know, but yet we, us kids, we each had our part every now and then to play to be able to make the business better. Now, we weren't just, you know, trophy kids, believe me. As a kid, I probably never got very many trophies that I can remember, maybe a few. But, you know, I wasn't a trophy child. You know, I was a functioning child. You know, that I was supposed to be a part. But see, what I will tell you is that we find fulfillment in what we do. And once we see that God has created us for a purpose, and then we tap ourselves into that, and then you're going to start to be fulfilled. The reason why a lot of Christians are not happy sometimes and being able to function the way that we're supposed to is that we're not involved in anything as far as God's concerned, what God wants for us to be doing. Because if God made you, he made you for a purpose. He didn't make you by accident. None of us are an accident. So evidently, God has some sort of plan that he wants us to do. And, you know, and in that plan, we're going to find that part of us that starts to be fulfilled, and we start to feel that we're needed. A lot of people, don't you like to feel needed every now and then? You know, I think we all do. I believe that God is not a respecter of persons, but God's a respecter of faith. Meaning that you may think that somebody else in this room or somebody around here may have more going for them in the things of God. But God doesn't respect somebody. God didn't choose somebody here to be more special than anybody else. But God will just honor the faith that's inside of us and the faith that we're willing to release. You know, and as we do that, you know, we're going to start to see it. And I believe that blessings or opportunities fly by us every day. Things that we can do. These matchless opportunities that God has for us. Well, you don't have to do them all. You can't do them all. But I believe there's going to be an inner witness inside of us that God stirs us up on the inside to be able to tap into that. When we do that, you know, no telling what will happen. I mean, I wonder what would have happened if I wouldn't have started teaching that first Sunday school class when I got saved. I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to say yes. When they asked me to teach this class, I had no knowledge of teaching. I had very little knowledge of God, and I had no knowledge of kids. None. But yet, something inside me, don't turn this down. Don't turn this down. They must see something in me that I don't see. And when I did that, it was an opportunity. And so with that opportunity, then a lot of different other things started to come in. And that's all it works for us. And, you know, when we get to that, you know, the Bible says a lot about whosoever will. You know, everybody won't, but somebody will. You know, we're born a nobody. I don't want to break anybody's bubble. But until you're born again, you're nobody. You haven't really tapped into who God wants you to be. You haven't got your new life yet. But once you do, then you can start to be a part of God's plan, and the multitude of opportunities are out there. Lastly is the concept of endless victory. How many are tired of winning yet? I couldn't resist that, sorry. But some of you got it, some didn't. Never get tired of winning. We serve a God who has defeated the devil, death, hell, and the grave. And that's who's a part of us. The Bible says there, if God is for us. So if God's for you, who could be against you to take God out? You know, I never had a bigger brother. You know, I had to pretty well fight my own battles type deal. But it would have been handy every now and then to have somebody bigger and badder than me to help me out of some situations. Because everybody gets in situations, right? We all do. But see, God is on our side. It doesn't matter if the devil's against you. It doesn't matter, you know, if the government's against you. It doesn't matter. If God is for us, who can be against us? So we need to develop some sort of a victory complex, in the sense that, you know, we go from victory to victory to victory. You know, how big is our God? A lot of times we limit God because we don't really understand, you know, how God interacts, and it comes back to relationship. You know, there is some tough situations and some tough circumstances out there. And as we get into those things, that's when we find out just how bad we need God. Now, I know there's still some battles that you and I fight. But I want us to see the fact that we're going to fight them downhill. Because we're fighting from a position of victory. And that position of victory gives us the advantage. It's kind of like when you're attacking somebody in the Westerns, the enemy would always attack where you have to look into the sun. Why? Because the sun blinds you. And that's why they would attack with the sun, you know, at their back and in your enemy's face. Well, our S-O-N, you know, is in front of us. He's our big brother. And every time, or most times, maybe not every time, but most of the time, the children of Israel would go out into the battle, they were always outnumbered. Always outnumbered. I mean, some of the other kings would hire people from other places. They'd hire chariots, and they'd hire, you know, people on horse, and they'd hire foot soldiers, and, you know, just multitudes of people to come against Israel. And they'd pay them this money, and then Israel just whoop up on them because their God was bigger. So it doesn't matter who the enemy employs against you. Because sometimes I know it seems overwhelming. But we just have to remember that it's God that's on our side. Now, this is the last part I want to look at, and I want you to think about it. Something that I've been meditating on lately about winning. Have you ever just felt like, as you go through life, you're just getting by? You know, like, I don't know, parts of time, maybe it's because I'm getting older. You know, I don't try to win anymore. And I just kind of want to turn that around. So I started meditating on, I think it's 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Or 24, I'm sorry. And it's talking about, you know, everybody runs a race, you know, but only one receives the prize. Then it says, run that you may win. Are we trying to win in everything that we're doing for God? Are we trying to win? Do we want to go from victory to victory? I want to challenge us with that, knowing, you know, the get-by attitude is something that we need to turn around so that we can get to the place where, you know, we start to, you know, enjoy and inherit many of those blessings. So, boundless love, matchless opportunities, and endless victory. I believe that's what God has for his people. You know, but the only thing holding us back, in my opinion, is probably us. Because we have a tendency to look at things wrong. And we need to start to see ourselves, you know, in another location. You know, maybe we see ourselves, you know, in a poor part of town, but we need to see ourselves in the best area of town. That God has called us out from the crowd. He wants us to be able to walk in His love, in His opportunities, and in His victory. Let's pray.